Well, good morning. It is a blessing to be here in Shenandoah worshiping with you. I'm excited to share what the Lord has laid on my heart. I've entitled the message this morning, Ears to Hear, okay? I take the title from Luke 8:8. When he said these things, he cried. They all talked about marveling. How about crying? Now, whether that means disappointment cry or a raise a voice cry, I'm not sure, but he cried. And he said, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I'd like everybody to engage in an activity. If you have two free hands, just check if you got two ears, okay? Go ahead. It's okay. Check. I do. Do you? So if there's anybody here that does not have two... No. Was that the point of the question? He that hath ears? Was Jesus like, do you got ears? No, I think it was more of the issue of hearing. And that's the point of my message. So I was debating to take a few of these slides out because I shared this message with Waterworks soon after we came back from Mexico in November of 2021. We spent a few days a week in Mexico, and some of you have connections to some of the people in Mexico, so I decided I'm going to leave these slides in because it kind of tells you how this message was born, okay? So we went to see Roger and Becky. You know them. We spent some time with them, and there's a few really neat pictures of, if you know Roger and Becky, you got to love that little Ezekiel trying to drive. They don't have the seatbelt laws in Mexico, so little Ezekiel can run to and fro, pulling the e-brake or steering or whatever. There's the group of caregivers that serve at the Light of Hope Orphanage, and that was our responsibility for the week, having a week of input to them. There is Joyce helping Becky in her kitchen. And there is Roger and Becky's, I guess you'd call that their living room. Open air, tree in the center. Isn't that neat? There I had the privilege to go help Roger and another man drill a well. Jason and Jamie, there's their coffee shop, little Jace out front. There's Jason's family in the coffee shop. There's another one of the coffee shop. Jason with his grinder. Here's where the message was born. Len and Debbie Miller, some of you know them, some of you may not, but they are kind of I guess I call them the pioneer family in the work of Mexico. And I appreciate Len a lot, and we have some good talks, and we had a meal with them. And if you have a meal with Len and Debbie, I'll give you a warning. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to pepper you with questions. And they told me that before we came, he said, just beware, we have a family tradition. All the family members are able to ask you a question. And they're not, how's the weather? They're questions like, what's your favorite verse in the Bible and why? Name a person that has inspired you in life and why? I forget his name, Jeffrey. Jeffrey's question was, tell me your most embarrassing moment. Len asked me the question. He said, share a time that God spoke to you. So that was probably the most loaded question. So oftentimes Joyce and I would just look at each other. You go first. I go first. You go ahead. So that what would really be neat is to just forget the message, what I have to share. Let's do that this morning. Share a time God spoke to you. And Len said, it's okay to talk about your call to salvation, but it would be neat to hear a time that God spoke. So like most of us, we have to think when we're put on the spot. This time, Joyce went first, and she shared about her mother passing away while we were in Grenada, and a specific time where God just ministered to her in a personal way. And the one that came to my mind was when God, in the middle of the night, gave me an exact date to move from Grenada back to Pennsylvania. And some of those things you can't really put into words, but I wonder how you would answer that question. Since that time in Len and Debbie Miller's kitchen, I've really reflected on that. God speaking to his people. God does. So the title, Ears to Hear, Jesus crying and saying that he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. There it is. What I'd like to do is I'd like to share four quick points surrounding that thought. But I really want that to sink in. And I know I don't really like to grab a verse and then we really should get the context and so forth. But for the sake of the message this morning, I'd like to take that thought, God speaking to his people. And I'd really like to stir your mind and stimulate your thinking and encourage you and also move you into action. That's my objective in sharing this message. I have 4 points. Number one, God does speak to his people. I'm going to use scripture to reinforce that fact. I know you know that, but I'm going to reinforce it. Okay? Secondly, I'm going to ask the question, how? How does God speak to his people? Thirdly, I'm going to a few points on discerning his voice. Discerning his voice. And then finally, just a few applications. So that's the outline of the message that I'm going to share this morning. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the first point is, God speaks to his people. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to reference several scriptures. I don't have time to unpack each one, but I'm going to just make reference to them. And if you're taking notes, you can jot the scriptures down. But here we go. 1 Samuel 3:1. And there's so many in the Bible, where do you start? Okay, so I just chose a few because each one of the ones that I chose kind of carries a little different element of what I would like to say. Number one, hopefully we know the story of little Samuel ministering to the Lord in chapter 3, verse 1. But he ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, because there was no open vision. Now, the story is probably 3 messages in itself, but you remember how God spoke, okay? That's my point. God speaks. But I'd like to just highlight a phrase there. It says, God's word or God's voice was precious. And that doesn't mean, well, it could mean priceless, but what it's really, the real meaning is it was rare. It didn't happen very often. And I asked the question, why? I remember this was a Sunday school lesson about a year ago, maybe something like that, if you remember that Sunday school lesson. But I still remember sitting in Sunday school and we were talking about that and discussing it. And in my mind, I never even articulated it, but I said, why? Why was it rare? And my only answer is in the form of a question. My answer is, will God speak if his people don't listen? Those of you that are those of you that are married, you have a spouse. Do you ever talk? They're not listening. By the way, women have an incredible intuition to this. You can act like you're listening as much as you want. Yeah, yeah. Incredible intuition. My point. Will God speak if his people don't listen? And in those days, they weren't listening. They didn't want to listen. Well, that's just pulled out of the beautiful story of Samuel. It is interesting. The Bible could have said God spoke to Samuel, but we have a real story form how God spoke. They didn't know who it was. Samuel runs to Eli. Eli, you know, about the third time, bingo, it could be God. Speak, your servant hears. And I think all that's in there to help us understand that sometimes hearing God's voice takes some maturity. Anyway, that's the first reference that I'd like to read. The second one is very negative. Jeremiah 17:23 says, they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff that they, what? Might not hear nor receive instruction. They were intentional. I mean, sometimes we don't listen because we're not, but they were like intentional. They don't want to hear. And I don't know if you ever heard a voice where you didn't really want to hear because you, well, that was the case here. And unfortunately, this was God's voice. So the next scripture, these are a few out of Hebrews. I'm just going to read them. God in sundry times, that means all so many eras, different eras, and in so many diverse manners, like various ways, spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Wow, that's so good. Hebrews 3. Therefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So there, I guess what I'd really like to highlight is the phrase that says, if you will hear. I used to read that to say, if you hear his voice. And one day it dawned on me, no, I think the key word is will. If you will, it's an act of the will. If you will, if you want to, if you will hear his voice. So let's move on. This is just a continuation of the verses that I just read. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do alway err in their heart that they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. But exhort one another. Here's the answer. That's a negative. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice. That's repetition. And God, when God uses repetition, he really wants to make the point. So there we have the phrase repeated. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Oh, there's so much in there. Now let's get some really, really encouraging ones. The point, remember, God speaks to his people. God does speak. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. Can we say that last verse together? All together? Loud, clear. Ready? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. Oh, there is so much in that verse. What's my point? God speaks to his people. God does speak. And I hope you're convinced of that. Now, that's a very quick journey over that point. But I'd like to move into the second point. And how? How does God speak to his people? And see, that would be so neat to hear everyone. How did God speak to you? How does God speak to you? How has he spoken to you? Well, I have the first point that I want to make is you cannot put God in a box. You cannot. There is no box that contains God. And unfortunately, we are a product of our experience. And I have seen people have an experience and make a box. And then if people don't have that experience, they're not in the box. So you cannot put God in a box. So if you hear somebody, if you hear how God spoke to someone, don't expect that exact same pattern or experience to be yours. Even in the Bible, even in the New Testament, we have so many ways that God has spoken. So remember, one of the verses says in these last days, primarily, it's through Jesus, okay? Now, I know that's so general, but the overarching way that God speaks to his people is through Jesus. So in the New Testament, in the era of Jesus Christ, the kingdom on earth, we find various accounts. Remember, there was a man named Ananias. And God spoke to him one day and said, go baptize Paul. You're going to find him in a little house in Straight Street. So Ananias goes into Straight Street, finds Paul and ministers. God spoke clearly to Ananias to do that. Well, now you have Paul in the kingdom and all about the kingdom, and you have God speaking to Paul so many times. Remember the time he wanted to go to, was it Asia, I think? He wanted to go somewhere. I think it was Asia. And then God said, no, you're going to Macedonia. So that God spoke directly to a person and gave him direction. God spoke to Peter through a vision, Acts 10. So God does speak to his people in various ways. Now, you know that God speaks sometimes, he uses people to carry his voice. Even in the New Testament, there was a godly man named Peter who got carried away with a wrong doctrine. So God could have said, Peter, shape up. No, he used Paul, and he took Paul, and Paul went to Peter, and he said, and Paul rebuked Peter in a public setting, because Paul said he needed it. Interesting. God, my point, you cannot put God in a box. One day, Paul, who rebuked Peter, had his mind set up, I'm going to do this, and there was a man named Agabus that stood up and said, wait, here's what's going to happen if you go ahead and do what you're going to do. Well, why didn't God just tell Paul that? But God used Agabus, and in that case, Paul went ahead with his plan, and I guess it was part of all God's plan, but God used people to speak into other people. Here's another one. The book of Acts is so exciting. You have the church of Jesus Christ springing up everywhere. Little churches here all over, or I shouldn't say all over the world, in that little section of the world, and at various places. And there was some differences, and there were, and way down in Jerusalem, some people sat together and said, there's something that has to hold everybody together. We got to put it in writing. Okay? Because there was argument about, should every little church be exactly like the Jerusalem church? Should there? So they got together in Jerusalem and they put a document together and they send it out by people to all the different churches, and the churches all said, that sounds good. That sounds great. And so God could have easily just, if God speaks so clearly to everybody, why didn't God just talk to everybody the same thing? And it all goes back to sometimes not everybody's listening. And how about the seven letters in Revelation? There's a message goes to Ephesus, a message goes to Smyrna, a message goes to Thyatira, and there's seven of them. So why did God do that through John, wrote it on a letter, sent it to... You get my point? You cannot put God in a box. God speaks to his people. It comes in so many various ways. So, let's get a little more specific. The first one is kind of overarching. You can't put God in a box. I am going to suggest that the most primary way that God speaks is through his word. This is the living word of God. That's a primary way he speaks. And now that's general again. And you can have 2 points under this. And the first point could be, it's the written word. I mean, God says, love your neighbor. So I love my neighbor, okay? God didn't give me that a revelation while I slept. I just know that that's what the written word says, so I'm going to obey what the written word says. There's also very personal messages that I have gotten through the word, through the written word. And I'm guessing you have too. I hear it all the time. I was faced with something, and then just happened that morning. I read in my devotions, and I read that. Ah, bingo. And they'll talk about goosebumps. There was a 1995, 96, Joyce and I were deliberating going to Grenada, and that was huge. We didn't know. I will never forget, and it's still underlined in one of my prior Bibles, but there's a verse that God used, Isaiah 42:12. I should have put this on the overhead. It says, "Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the islands." And I read that. That was one of the six clear confirmations that we had written down over that time. So what's my point? God speaks through his word. Sometimes it's the written word. Sometimes it's a rhema. It's a clear message that comes specifically to you through the word. It's powerful. Another one, I would say it's right on the heels of his word in my experience. Again, don't ever take my experience and try to make it your experience and vice versa. God uses, you cannot put God in a box. But God speaks through his people. This has happened to me so many times. I thank God for prophets who speak. And I thank God for the united voice of the church. In my experience, I remember, I gave you a little glimpse of moving to Grenada. We got to Grenada, and our assignment was a whole lot bigger than a 26-year-old boy that had no experience in church planting or cultural challenges. The assignment was find a third area and start working, and hopefully the goal is to start a church. You say, what? But I can't put into words how I valued and listened and appreciated all the Grenadians, the staff, the voice of the church at Laura, the voice of the church at Limes, that was two existing churches in Grenada. I cannot put into words how I valued that. And I know that God used events prior to lead us to a little town called Laborie, where today, there, right as we speak, there's a worship service going. So God speaks through his people. Since we're in Shenandoah, let's talk Shenandoah. You remember the times at Myerstown where we were talking about starting a church plant somewhere and evangelistic efforts, and here we are in Shenandoah. Isn't that neat or what? And my point? God spoke through people. The united voice of the church is so powerful and so important. When God's people have ears to hear, things happen. I could talk about the more recent one at Waterworks, how we would sit and as men and say, what are we going to do? And then here a church comes up for sale. And I'll give you one more. I was called to teach school, and it almost makes me laugh sometimes when I consider where I was in education and all of that, and somebody knocked on my door and said, would you be interested in teaching high school? I said, I'll think of, the easy thing to say, I'll think about it and get back to you if I feel it's the right thing to do. And it went about a month or two, have you thought about it? We're going out for breakfast. We're going to talk about it. And then to make matters worse, my wife joins their voice and says, you have had that in you. You have expressed that. What's my point? God uses other people all the time. And I think we need to be listening to that. I could tell you more, and it would be interesting to swap stories, how God speaks. The next one is through prayer and peace. I'm not going to build on this point. I'm going to just say sometimes we, I don't know what prayer means to you, but I think prayer sometimes offends God. Nah, I shouldn't say it like that. That doesn't sound right. Sometimes we don't understand prayer. That sounds better. I think sometimes we think prayer is, get your 5 minutes of talking said. But in my experience, relationship is a two-way street. And I wonder what would happen if prayer would be split 50-50 or maybe 75-25. 75 listening, 25 talking. pray, listen, and then the peace that comes is indescribable. Prayer and peace. I'm talking about how does God speak to his people. A point is circumstances. God definitely opens doors, closes doors. He does. So how does God speak? Summarized, it can be handwriting on the wall. It can be audible. I have known people that have heard an audible voice from God. The most specific voice that I have heard was that specific date that I told you. I don't think it was audible, but I had no question in my mind that it was a specific date that was confirmed about two. God does that sometimes if he needs to. He doesn't have to. Most times I just kind of sense God, pray, listen, make plans. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding rule and govern your situation. That's most times how it works. So I'm summarizing, how does God speak? Most times it is through a still small voice, by his word, through his people. A big one is his peace. And I wonder if that is why many of us miss it. We live in a very noisy world, and I'll have more of that on the last point. A few on discerning God's voice real quickly. The first one, does it align with God's word? You know, I have a heavy heart when I hear people making choices that contradict God's word. I know of a person as I speak that is making choices, and they are currently renouncing Christianity. That's so sad. To the point where I don't believe Christianity is the right way. Sometimes it goes like this. What the Bible says, you take Bible commands, and if you want an exercise, go through the New Testament or an entire Bible if you really want an assignment. Go through the New Testament and underline every command, every one. I did that for my devotions 1 year. It was life-changing. Just go through it slowly. Take a whole year, go through the New Testament, underline every command, every single time you find a command, and then carry it out. And I hear people say how God is leading them to so clearly against what God said. That's another voice. That's just the way it is. That's another voice. God will never contradict his word. Does it align with God's word? Whether it's loving your neighbor, turning the other cheek, resisting not evil. I hear people justifying not paying taxes. Render to Caesar what's Caesar's. Just, there are so many practical points under, does it align with God's word? Secondly, will it make me more like Jesus? That's, if you're trying to discern, is this God? Is this really God? Will it make me more like Jesus? And maybe another exercise is going through the New Testament and just every time you can find a character of Jesus, I haven't done this yet, but just underline it. Now, that's how Jesus acts. That's what he does. Will this make me more like Jesus? Jesus will always transform us into little Christ. That's what Christianity is all about, little Christs. So ask the question, is this making me more like Jesus? Does it align with the word? Will it make me more like Jesus? Thirdly, have godly counselors affirmed this? There is safety in the multitude of counselors. And we could talk about so many scriptures, especially in Proverbs. We could get them in the New Testament as well. But I'll just say this. There have been times in my life where I've watched somebody make choices. And I would say, if only he or she would talk to somebody that has a godly voice. If only. Do you know that you can find somebody in the world that will tell you whatever you want? You know that? I learned that in life. You can find somebody that will just rubber stamp your desire. You got to find the right people. But find godly counselors that will speak truth in love. Another question, another way to discern God's voice. Am I totally surrendered? I want to go back to Roger and my time in Mexico. One time, Roger told me a story when I was in Mexico, and he said he was really deliberating, extending his commitment in Mexico. And somebody told him, somebody gave him counsel. And this person didn't say, you should stay or you should leave. No, this person said, when you're surrendered, you'll hear God's voice. When you're surrendered. Well, so he said he spent some time totally surrendering the best he knew how. The best way he knew how to totally surrender. And if we really get honest, we do have our reservations. But he did the best he could. And when he felt he was totally, totally surrendered, one day he was in a food line at the orphanage, and one of his boys stepped out of the food line like he was here, and the food line was there, and to take a little boy from his food is almost a miracle in itself. The little boy stepped out of the food line, came over to Roger and said, I think you ought to stay in Mexico. And the little boy knew nothing about his deliberation, knew nothing about his whether or not he should stay. The point? I think sometimes we miss God's voice because of fail to surrender. And another question, if this is discerning God's voice, is, do I have the peace of God? Is my spirit at rest? Hopefully those are helpful for us in discerning God's voice, because we live in, I don't think we've ever lived in a day of so many voices. There's just so many voices. So a few applications, and then I'm going to close. Application number one, I actually only have two. Number one, incline your ear. And I know that's kind of a general, but incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. That comes from Isaiah 55, a beautiful passage of scripture. Isaiah 55, incline your ear. There was a story about a man in New York City. I have a picture of that. A cricket in New York City. So this is by Brett Petrello, busy Times Square. I'm not sure if you've ever been there. I've been there a few times. Don't really have a strong desire to hang out in Times Square, but Times Square is busy and Times Square is noisy. There was a Native American and his friend were walking on Times Square, and the Native American said, "Hey, I hear a cricket." He laughed at him. The friend said, you don't hear a cricket. The Native American said, I do. Yes, I do. You got to be crazy. The conversation went back and forth, and he insisted, I hear a cricket. The Native American listened for a moment, and he walked over to a specific big cement planter where some shrubs were growing. He looked in the bushes, beneath the branches, and sure enough, there was a cricket. And of course, when you zero in on that, the friend said, that is incredible. You must have superhuman ears. The Native American said, no, your ears are right like my ears. Here's what he said. We hear whatever we're listening for. And they all stood there for a little bit. Then the Native American said, watch this. Reached in his pocket, pulled out some change, and just drop. And people that were listening, the sound of money. I mean, that's what they were listening for. You hear what you want to hear. And I think we can get some accurate information from that story. So a cricket in New York, incline your ear. I think it would be very good to set times to intentionally incline your ear. I wonder what would happen if every one of us here this morning would set a daily slot. Okay, let's say 15 minutes. Every day, no give, no take, 15 minutes. What would happen if once a week you could carve out 30 minutes? I'm trying to be conservative with the figures. What would happen if every month you could carve out an hour or two? What would happen if once a year you could carve out a day? I wonder, I really wonder what would happen if we would be real intentional in inclining our ear. Because we live in a noise, we basically live in Times Square. I'm figuratively speaking. We live in a very noisy world with a lot of voices. I wonder what would happen if we would pause after reading and after praying. You know, you come to that word Selah in the Bible. Some people read it, some people don't. I don't know if it's wrong or right, but what it's really there for is that you stop. So I think the best way to do the sila is you read a verse, and if it says sila, do a sila. Stop and pause. That's why it's there. Take it in. I wonder what would happen if we would put sila in our lives. I wonder what would happen if I would limit noise and invite quiet. I wonder what would happen. I'm talking about ears to hear, applications. I wonder. This is my last point. I wonder what would happen if every one of us would say, obedience trumps it all. You speak, Lord. Remember, we've already committed to read His Word. We've committed to pray. And when the rhemas come, I'm not going to say everybody all the time carries the voice of God to you, because if everybody that I ever listened to, I would be going in circles, okay? But I wonder if we would really be listening. Is this God's voice? Is this God's voice? Is this God's voice? Is this God's voice? I wonder if obedience. This is Abraham and Isaac. He is amazing. Living in a comfort zone, God said, move. Honey, we're leaving. Where? I don't know. Just come. Okay, we're going. And they go. And they go to the promised land. They left the comfort zone. And you'll find that man, Hebrews 11. He has more verses in Hebrews 11 than anybody else. Noah, a few verses. Isaac, a few verses. Abraham, I forget. I think I counted one time. 12 verses. 12 verses in the Hall of Faith. And the reason is he heard. And he obeyed. He heard God's voice. He would wake up the next morning and go, this time right here, go take your son. What? I'm 100 years old. I waited for this for 100 years. Yeah, go take your son. Okay, so he gets up early in the morning. Isaac, we're going. And I don't want to get carried away in the story and lose the point. But little Isaac says, Daddy, we got everything, but where's the offering? We forgot the sacrifice. If I'd have been Isaac, I probably would have just laid down and cried right there. He said, God will provide. My point, obedience. Hearing God's voice, up the hill, up the hill, up the hill. And you know what I like to picture? I like to picture Mount Moriah. You're going up this side of the hill, Abraham and Isaac. And I like to picture God on the other side of the hill that you can't see. A ram. I wonder, in sync. Abraham takes a step. The ram takes a step. I could be way off, but they come up the hill. Abraham makes the altar. He warms the altar. He makes it just right for Isaac. He finally lays Isaac on. And then obedience. He was carrying out what God told him to do. And God said, stop. And he looked, and there was the ram caught in the bushes. To me, that's a beautiful picture of a man hearing God's voice. But I think what trumped it all is he just obeyed. And I wonder what would happen if you or I would be so intentional. When he said these things, he cried. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, we do have two ears, and we know that's not the point. Will we listen? Father, I pray that you would be gentle as you speak to us. Help us all to incline our ears. Help us to limit the noise. Help us to put the sila in our lives. But ultimately, help us to obey your voice. And we will be an interesting kind of people in the world we live. But we'll be doing everything we do because of a command. Thank you for your voice. Help us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.